Doing Perkei Avot with Rabbeinu Yonah, the fourth chapter, the 15th Mishnah. Rabbi Matya ben Charash Omer. Rabbi Matya ben Charash says, Hevei Makdim Bishlom Kol Adam. Be the first to greet every person. Any person, you should be the first to say Shalom. You be the first to greet him with peace. Vevei Zanav La'arayot Ve'al Tehi Rosh La'shualim. Be the tail for lions, and don't be the head of oxen. Explains Rabbeinu Yonah, Heve makdin shalom lekol adam, greet every person with peace, v'hu miderech hamusar, that is the ethical way to behave. Be the first to greet a person with peace. So, we have the concept, first of all, of greeting a person. Rambam writes, it's one of the ways that Talmud Chacham behaves, that we greet a person with peace. The Gemara says that they instituted, the Gemara in the end of Masechet Brachot, the Mishnah in the end of Masechet Brachot, the last Mishnah in Masechet Brachot says that they instituted you should greet a person with Hashem's name. Right? Tkinu Sheyehei. The Mishnah says they institute that a person should greet the other one with Hashem's name. Boaz says to the workers in the field, Hashem imachem, Hashem should be with you. He used Hashem's name to greet them. So the Ritva over there says that in that generation, people forgot Hashem's name. The idea of saying Hashem is with you was to remind people that Hashem is a part of our life. Yes, sir.
Doesn't it say there that the bigger person has to say hi to the smaller person first?
Okay.
So when you said that you should always greet, but what about the halacha, the halacha, that the bigger person starts the halacha?
So, okay. The chora, this falls under that you're within the confines of Derech Eretz, that if it's someone who you should wait, should greet you, so you wait until they greet you. But ordinarily, the regular person, you be the first when it's someone you're an equal to. Yeah.
I know the arrows are the same thing.
That what?
They do exactly. I was speaking to someone once. He was in Dubai, and he told me that whenever like the Arabs greet each other, they say like inshallah, you know, all the time, just the same exact way. So it's funny.
That means Bezrat Hashem.
It's a word, it's the same thing. Well, I mentioned Hashem's name whenever you
do. Ah, okay. Yeah.
For exactly the
same. וזנב לאריות, be the tail for lions, רצה לומר שישמש תלמידי חכמים וידבק בחברתם. Means, learn by תלמידי חכמים, be close to them. And that's the idea of be a tail to lions. Find the lions and try to be their tail. In other words, tag along. Person should try to be next to people who are learned, and then even if you could be a place where you're the head, but better be a place where you're not the head, where you're learning. So that's the idea of being a tail for lions. V'al tehi rosh la'shualim, don't be the head of foxen. Lomar lecha shenoach lo la'adam liyot talmid lemi shegadol menu b'chokhmah. A person should always try to be a student. It's better to be a student than to be the teacher. Shenimtza b'chol yom mosif al chokhmato. And we're a student, so then we're always learning. So a person should always try to find someone bigger than them to learn by. מיותו רב למי שקטן ממנו בחוכמה שנמצא פוחת והולך מחוכמתו. If a person says, I'm going to teach others, great, I know, I'm going to teach. So then a person can find himself losing his wisdom because he's always with people who know less than him. If they know more than you, you're not going to be their teacher. כעניין שאמרו אז our sages taught, מי שהיה ראש לסנדריק קטנה עושינו אותו תפילה לסנדריק גדולה. If someone was ahead of a smaller court, so we put him on as an adjunct to a bigger court so he should learn and grow from there. So obviously the Mishnah does not preclude teaching people. Of course a person has to take time to teach. Every person has to take a tithe of their time to teach. A person can't absolve himself from that. The question here is more, whose company am I going to be in? Very often it's tempting to remain in a place or to be focused on a place where one is the head of Faxen. And a person should always try to be in a place where there are bigger people than them. And that way they keep growing. This is relevant when a person chooses a yeshiva. You don't want to be the top of the yeshiva. If you're at the top of the yeshiva, it's time to think about another yeshiva. You know, you need to grow. We grow from having bigger people around us. And this plays itself out on two fronts. One is in the realm of knowledge. If there are people that know more than me, so then I'm going to learn from them. And the other one is in the realm of diligence, tzidkut. I remember when I was in Merkaz Harav, so I would go to sleep real early. I'd go to sleep right after Arvit. I would daven like at sundown, at Seita Kochavim, I would daven, and then eat dinner and go to sleep. So by like 7 o'clock, I was in bed, which meant that by midnight, I had 5 hours of sleep. By 2 o'clock in the morning, I already had 7 hours of sleep. So I'd hop out of bed at 2 o'clock in the morning to go learn. The problem was, I wasn't the first one in Beis Medrash at 2 o'clock in the morning. If you show up at 3, at 4, at 5, at 6, in Merkaz Harav, in my day, I don't know what's going on there today, you're not the first. There were other people who went to sleep early and got up even before me. And if you stay in the Beis Medrash till 11, 12 o'clock at night, you're not the last. There are people who are pushing themselves to 12:30 and 1. And what happens is that drives you to learn more. When I went to a different yeshiva, where the Rosh Yeshiva was great and the Shir was great and had good chavrusas, but that yeshiva was filled with people who showed up to yeshiva at 9 o'clock. Yeshiva basically started at 9. So I remember the feeling walking into the Beis Medrash at 8, and I was the first one there. And you feel like such a masmid. You have an hour of a quiet Beis Medrash. You're the only one there. You feel like, wow, look at me. I'm learning an hour before anyone else is. And I'd have to remind myself that back in Merkaz Harav, this would be considered nothing. That if I'd show up at 6, I wasn't the first one there. There'd already be many people in the Beit Midrash at 6 o'clock in the morning. But it's hard not to be affected. At the end of the day, we have people around us. The environment we're in either drives us up or helps pull us down. The Mishnah says, go to a place where there are lions. Even if you're the tail, better be a tail for lions. And again, this is on two fronts. It's in the front of knowledge. If there are people who know much more than you. In the second yeshiva, there were much bigger Talmidei Chachamim. There were people who knew much more, like giants of Torah in the second yeshiva. So at least I got to be with lions all day long. I was with people who were masters of Shas, people who were heads of courts, people Av Beis Din. They were top people. They weren't showing up at 9 o'clock because they just rolled out of bed. They were showing up at 9 o'clock. They were doing other things in the morning. By the time they came to yeshiva, it was 9 o'clock. Those are two aspects of Zanav La'arayot. When we choose a yeshiva for ourselves, we have to look at both aspects. When we choose a yeshiva for our kids, we have to look at both aspects.
When it comes to putting your kids in an environment how it connects to, it's better to be the tail of a lion than the head of a fox.
You often can choose a school for your child where they're the top, or a school where they're not the top. Well, there are other kids who are better than them. Usually for a kid, if there are other people, it's going to drive them to grow more. This is more so in the high school years than the elementary school years. In the high school years, a person is very affected by the environment they're in. If a kid's chavrusa is going to finish the masechet that year, so let's say they're learning Baba Basra, and the guy knows his chavrusa is working every free minute to finish Baba Basra, then it drives him. He should also finish Baba Basra. If a guy sees that his chavrusa is during Bein Hazmanim, he's setting up a program for learning, so he tells himself, I should do that too. At the end of the day, we are driven by the people who are around us. And so, Zanav La'arayot is also relevant when we choose a school for our kid. The only thing is, the kid has to feel like they're competing. Like they're a runner in the race, they're a tail, not like they're left behind. meaning they have to be a part of the lion.
How would you say it applies when the kid's in younger years? Like you said, it doesn't apply as much to elementary school. What would be the application?
In younger years, there's a lot more to consider. You have to consider the content of what's being given, the love that's being given, how much understanding they have of the child, what environment in the sense of Yirat Shamayim, meaning until 6th, 7th, 8th grade, you want the child to acquire not only knowledge, but also an approach, purity in their approach to Torah. Meaning to look at Chazal with awe, to look at the Torah with a reverence. There's an approach. When my kids are fighting, and one kid says to the neighbor's kid, "My father's bigger than your father." Another kid says, "No, my father's bigger than your father." And then one kid will tell the other one, "Well, Hashem is bigger than both, so there." That's a positive thing. That means the concept of Hashem is like the concept of his father. It's real. It's there. Now, there's that connection to what we call Yiddishkeit or Kinderstuben, what the kid gets fed by his mother. What's he getting fed with the cereal in the morning? So the same is true in the school. If the school is giving him, it's not only about knowledge. The elementary school years, you want the child to get a connection to the Torah, a connection to the Jewish people. It's a different deal, elementary school and high school. In high school, they're developing very much their values. They're developing their personality in the sense of how diligent they're going to be. Are they going to go to sleep on time? Are they going to get used to being in a dorm where everyone stays up to all hours? Are they going to get used to reviewing what they learn? Are they going to get used to learning in a systematic way? Are they going to get used to showing up on time and setting themselves goals so that they accomplish? High school is very much a development of the young man. And for many people, the high school years form very specific personality traits that later on are their personality traits for life. For many people, it's those years between 13 and 18, 19 when they form. Elementary school, it's nice if a kid gains knowledge. It's nice if a kid has tools. It's much more important that they get the soul, the connection to the Torah, the way they connect. Whether they'll know more Parsha, less Parsha, more Tanakh, less Tanakh, more Mishnah, less Mishnah, it's nice. But people look at that as the focus of elementary school years, and I think that's a mistake. I haven't seen that proves itself. It's nice. It's an asset. A kid that learns Tanakh and Shas Mishnayos as a kid, at the end of the day, has a certain basis to work off of. But it's not everything. The focus of the younger years is different. Midot, hopefully a kid gets at the home. And Yirat Shemayim, hopefully a kid gets at the school.
Okay.
The way his Rebbe speaks about Rashi. His Rebbe tells him, Rashi says this, but I don't think it's right. So he learns to disrespect Rashi.
So you're saying that the function of the school in the younger years, because in the younger years kids are more impressionable, is to develop that impression that will be able to, I guess, that which is approach to Torah, to life, will be developed, as opposed to being filled with knowledge, which could come almost at any time. But the more impressionable they are, the more you want to impression them with Yirat Shamayim and values and things like this.
I wouldn't say it's because they're impressionable. I would say it's because there are stages in development. When the Mishnah will tell us soon that at 5 years old teach them Tanakh, at 10 years old teach them Mishnah, and at 15 teach them Talmud, the Mishnah is telling us there's an involvement in the development of a child's understanding, and you have to align the learning with that development. And it's not, I don't think it's because they're impressionable as much as it's because this is the time when you could get it in. There are things that if you get in at a certain age, they become a part of the person. And later on, it's a learned skill. It's not the same as being a part of who I am.
Well,
you can see it with people like us. It's very different.
It's different. Yeah.
It's not a bad thing, but it's not ideal, and it's you have to unlearn what you learned, and it's messy.
It's different. It's not the same. Right. When a child grows up, and until age 10, 11, 12, it's very clear to him Torah and Yiras Shamayim and davening. It's a different world than a person that has to learn it later on. You want to be a part of it.
But the danger of that also, even though I think it's the way to go, is you said that great line with two of my kids. They ask such great questions, but they can't understand the answers yet. I hope when they're old enough to understand the answers, they still ask the questions. And you want them to have Yiras Shamayim and Orfa Hazal. At the same time, you don't want them to say, I'm so wicked if I have a thought that might think that I have disagreed with certain things, when they're old enough to understand that just because you disagree doesn't mean you're right and they're wrong. You know, but that's
I think that's an attitude. That's they get that from the parents.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot.
But, you know, it's dangerous that they may have the same question and be inhibited to ask when they can understand the answer. And as they say, if you get from the parents, and you also get, it can work, great, but it's there's nothing that's risk-free.
No, person always has free will. I just want to finish the point. My point was not to say the only thing that should interest you is this. I said in elementary school you have to be concerned with the warmth, with the environment. There are other things to consider. But very often, especially Chozrim B'Tshuva, get very excited over schools because they see the kids there, they finish Tanakh, they know Tanakh by heart, they know Mishnayos, they're rattling it off. And that's not necessarily the main point we should be focused on. It's a nice added point. It might be good for the kid, it might not be good for the kid. It's not the main point. What you want to get out of an elementary school is not that. That's an added bonus. People look at that as the main thing. They'll send to school because they believe their child will know Tanakh and Mishnayot by heart by the time they're in 8th grade. Who said that's what you need a child to know at 8th grade? A more important question is, will he feel loved? Will he be stable? Will he have the balanced soul that can then succeed onward? How does he leave the school? And is he connected to Torah in a way that he will respect it and value it? There was a yeshiva where many of the students would finish Shas every month. Every month. But many of the students left it all. So they lived up to the pressure. They reached a certain point. And then you saw that the outcome was not as successful as what you had seen earlier. It seemed so impressive, yet somehow so many of them burnt out. So many, to the point where they're nice people, but you don't see them finishing Shas 5 years after they left the yeshiva. So then is that a success? I'm saying the gauge shouldn't be the way I see many people when they're Chozrim B'Tshuva especially. So a person feels like, I didn't get all this knowledge. If my son can know Tanakh by heart, that's amazing. It's nice. It's not amazing. It's not the most important point. You have to make sure he has the basis to succeed in high school, and in high school, the basis to succeed in yeshiva, and in yeshiva, the basis to succeed in life. Whatever you'll call success, but you're building towards something. Very often people just look at what he can do now. So, what's he going to do in 5 years? Look at the big picture. And what he needs in order to succeed in the big picture, what he needs to get from the elementary school is a basic amount of knowledge, but a tremendous amount of Yirat Shamayim. An appreciation for the Yamim Tovim. Pesach comes, it should be exciting. There's a connection to Yiddishkeit that has to happen in those years. So when the Mishnah tells us, be a tail to lions, I don't think the Mishnah is talking about the 5-year-old and the 7-year-old and the 9-year-old. People misapply this. It's talking about the later years, when they're really learning, possibly in high school, provided that the kid can feel like he's a part of the lion. He doesn't feel like the lion's way ahead and he's left behind. Sometimes people are tempted to send their kid to a top high school. A guy came to me this week. He said, if I donate $100,000 to this high school, they'll accept my kid. I said, well, maybe you should donate the $100,000, but I'm not sure you should send your kid. Who said it's good for the kid? If you need that kind of money to get him in, so then maybe it's not the right high school for him. He said, but it's the top high school. I said, yeah, but who said it's top for your kid? Who said it's good for him? What's that? So what? So the top kids of the country go to that high school. So that doesn't mean your kid will thrive there. Maybe it's not good for him. So the Zanav LaRayot, you have to be the tail of the lion. You have to be a part of the lion. And then it has to be that, balanced, that the kid doesn't get quashed. Sometimes a kid feels like everyone's way on top of him. And then you're not necessarily doing the kid a favor. It's pressure that he might not succeed in. So the Mishnah is telling us, be in a place where you're driven to grow. Be in a place where you have who to look up to. When I made Aliyah, I used to ask Rav Moshe Halberstam Zatzal questions. I asked Rav Nevinzel, and then there were questions he wouldn't answer. So I asked him, who should I ask? He sent me to Rav Moshe Halberstam from the Badat Zeda Charedis. And then Rav Moshe Halberstam suddenly passed away. So I was standing at his funeral, crying, and I see to my left, Rav Nevinzel's there. He also came to the funeral. So when they took him to be buried, so we walked behind a little bit, and then you couldn't even approach. It was so packed. So then when I saw Rav Nevinzel turning to go back home, I said, Rebbe, years ago you sent me to Rav Halberstam. Now that Rav Halberstam passed away, who do I go to now? So it sounds like a funny thing to ask at a funeral, but the key point is a person should always have a lion that he looks up to. You don't want to be the big rabbi. You want to have someone on top of you who you're going to learn from, or you could continue asking your questions to. You don't want to be the head of Foxen. And that's a recurring theme in our life. Now, this is also relevant when you choose a community. You're going to choose where to bring up your families. Choose a place where you're not the leader. You will help lead. You will help move forward. But choose a place where people around you are at your level and higher. Close enough to you that you feel associated with them, but at a point where it'll drive you to grow. It shouldn't be pressure, but there should be a drive. At the end of the day, I saw a phenomenal thing. There was a family, the husband doesn't wear a yarmulke. I don't know if they even keep Shabbat. They're not on a very high level in their observance. But the wife dresses modestly because she sends her kids to Gan. And when she comes to Gan, all the other women dress modestly, so she dresses modestly. She's not going to show up different than all the other kids. So they're living in a community, and at the end of the day, the community keeps pulling them upward. So today, the husband doesn't wear a yarmulke, but I anticipate that in 5 years, he'll be in a different place. At the end of the day, his kids go to a school where they come home and they tell him, Abba, there's davening on Yom Kippur. Let's go hear the davening. Let's go hear the shofar. At the end of the day, he's going to end up doing a lot more. So that's true in that extreme example. It's also true for us in other examples. You know, my kids come home and they say, why are you going to sleep, Abba? There's learning Shabbos. What? Let me rest. No, Abba, there's learning. Let's go learn. Their friends are going, so now I have to go. Motzei Shabbat, you think it's time to clean up the house? The kids come in and they say, across the street, they're giving out prizes. Everyone's learning. Why should we clean now? Let's clean in an hour. Let's go learn. So you're in a community where you don't have a choice. You know, I come home two nights a week. I come home at a decent hour. So in the community, they have, your son became bar mitzvah, so finish a masechta with him. So my son says, so we're going to be odd man out. Everyone finishes a masechta. We're not. So now I have an hour between the time I come home and the time I give the next class. And out of that hour, I have to partition 25 minutes to learn with this kid because all the other kids are finishing a masechta in the yeshuv. So we're not going to finish a masechta. So now 25 minutes are gone. I wolf down a supper. I see each of the kids. And on that night, I'm off with him for 25 minutes. Do I have a choice? So it's a positive thing, I don't have a choice, but I'm saying there's an environment. If it were up to me, we wouldn't be learning those 25 minutes. Okay, say that. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. The environment pulls you up. It forces you to do things. If all the kids are doing it, so how are you not going to do it? Your kid wants to do it too. I'm saying, so this idea of being a tail to lions is true in choosing a yeshiva for ourselves. It's true in choosing a yeshiva for our kids. It's true in choosing a community. People often say, I'll go to a community, now I'm out of Machon Meir, I'm going to go and I'm going to help that whole community grow. They go to a community that will help you grow. So, in that community, you'll find a way to help them grow. But we have to be a tail for lions.